This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. Opponents of a proposed downtown Milwaukee streetcar project are continuing to collect signatures in an effort to get the issue before voters. Meanwhile, the Milwaukee Common Council plans to hold its final up or down vote on the project at its February 10th meeting.
The controversy is drawing national attention and comes as another potential major development got a boost yesterday when Governor Scott Walker announced his support for a so-called jock tax to help build a new basketball arena.
Bruce Murphy has written about both issues in his role as editor for UrbanMilwaukee.com, and he joins us on the line this morning. Hi, Bruce.
Thanks. Nice to be here, as always.
Nice to have you here. Right now, it seems that the focus of opponents of the proposed streetcar is on collecting signatures to force a referendum. Let's talk about that. How would a potential referendum affect this process?
Well, I think what a lot of people don't understand is that this is really a referendum about a referendum. So these petitions call for a new requirement that the city must have a referendum to approve any spending on a rail project of at least $20 million. Now, if the group gets the required number of petitions, about 31,000, the Common Council could approve the idea of having this referendum every time for spending, which they're unlikely to do. Or we can hold a referendum to decide if we want to have that referendum. So the first time through in the referendum, we'd be voting on whether we should have that referendum anytime the city wants to spend more than $20 million on rail transit. If a majority says yes, then there must be a referendum in the next election on whether or not to approve the rail project.
So when people are potentially signing the petitions that are circulating out there, they are basically giving their approval to the idea of having a referendum on the referendum? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. They may think they're signing something that will stop the streetcar, but they're simply signing something that says we have to have a referendum on whether to have referendums on this topic.
Well, so the focus of opponents is on that process of collecting signatures, and you have written about the outside forces that are impacting it. What sort of outside influence on the issue have you found?
Well, certainly the Americans for Prosperity are very involved. That's the Koch brothers funded nonprofit. And the Wisconsin director told me that they have paid staff members who are out in the field collecting signatures. They have yet to disclose how many such staff they have or how much money they're spending on this. He wouldn't tell me, and he wouldn't tell the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel after they did a story following up on my story.
So there's no real way of knowing exactly how much money is at work here?
No.
Why would a national political group like the Koch brothers group care one way or another about a streetcar plan in Milwaukee?
It is curious to me. It turns out the Americans for Prosperity and the Koch brothers have opposed some streetcar proposals in other cities. And, you know, they are very, the company itself, Koch Industries, is very fossil fuel oriented. And so maybe they'd prefer people ride in cars than streetcars, although let's face it, streetcars also depend on fossil fuels as well.
Well, and it's interesting because I don't know that a lot of the proponents of the plan are necessarily, especially talking about this first phase as a way to get a lot of cars off the streets.
No, I mean, I think it's not going to have that huge an impact because it is just stage one. Of course, Barrett has made it clear that he sees this as just the first part, and they would hope to build on that streetcar line once they have the first step taken.
Well, you mentioned Mayor Barrett, and he's obviously a leading, if not the leading, proponent of this plan. How much of this entire controversy do you think is about the streetcar itself, and how much of it is a proxy for the political battle that's looming in the mayoral election ahead?
Well, that's an interesting question, because there's something about the timing of this that's completely curious. The way it works, if you're going to have, say, a referendum, the first stage of the referendum this spring, these signatures would have to be submitted at least 70 days before the April election. But the Citizens for Responsible Government, which is organizing the petition drive, has already said that they're not coming in until February 8th. That's not going to be 70 days before the early April spring election. So that means that that would push the first referendum to February of 2016. Now, at that point, again, if people said yes, majority said yes, we want to have a referendum anytime the city wants to spend this money on rail, that would kick the final referendum to April of 2016, which would be the final for the mayoral election. So there are some who have argued this is really just about trying to gin up the turnout against Mayor Barrett. As it is, this timing would mean that we could technically be voting finally on this proposal in April 2016, which would be some 14 months after the Common Council is likely to approve the streetcar, because they're going to get to this in the February meeting, and they're expected to approve it.
Well, and so what happens then? Let's say the signatures come in, but then let's say the Common Council goes ahead and gives final approval of the project. Could shovels be in the ground already, even before the voters have a chance to register their opinions one way or another?
Well, you would certainly expect that to happen, because who passes a proposal and then waits 14 months to start building the project? You'd think they would start immediately in the spring. The question is whether this will go to the courts. Will the Citizens for Responsive Government go to court and say you can't break ground until this process has finished? The other side is going to say, well, look, we have been, the Common Council originally approved a version of the streetcar back in July 2011, and there have been public discussions and meetings on this going back at least 5 years, and there's been ample time to do a referendum or do any other sorts of things to try to oppose it. How the courts would rule on that, I have no idea.
Well, and could it be that some of this is simply political gamesmanship, that even if a lawsuit didn't go forward, it would certainly give opponents of the streetcar cover to run against Mayor Barrett next year?
Well, I think regardless, it does help them to get the names of people who might be opposed to Barrett, and it sort of starts the election process early in that sense. But I wouldn't discount the fact that these opponents truly want to stop the streetcar. The question is how that will work legally.
Proponents are saying that the streetcar would be a catalyst for downtown development. It is one of a number of projects that downtown business leaders are touting in that vein. Another one is the prospect of a basketball arena, something that got a somewhat unexpected boost from a likely presidential candidate this week, who also happens to be the Wisconsin governor. How are the fate of the streetcar and the arena connected?
Well, they're connected in a couple ways. One is that obviously they're both downtown development, and both are have been touted as a way to increase downtown development. The other issue here is that you've had Republicans, notably Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who has said, well, look, if the city has enough money for this streetcar, which he opposes, then they should have enough money to pay to build an NBA arena, and maybe we shouldn't approve this. So it will be very interesting to see how the Republicans vote on this, because even if the governor is in favor of it, it's clear there are a number of Republican lawmakers who are opposed to this. And this is another one. It's hard to say how this will play out.
Well, and I would imagine that proponents would point out that the city would be able to afford to build the streetcar largely on the basis of significant federal dollars from the Department of Transportation.
Well, yes. And, I mean, that's the logical response to that. But, as you know, politics isn't always logical. And the reality is, from the beginning, there have been a lot of Republicans who were not excited about this NBA arena proposal and the idea of coming up with some kind of funding. So, on the other hand, they've got a governor who's popular, who's running for president, and maybe they don't want to make him look bad, and they'll end up falling in line on this.
Well, and it's interesting because downtown business interests are not always necessarily thought of as liberal interests. There are a lot of Republicans in that world as well.
Well, definitely, and they haven't necessarily been united on this. When it comes to the streetcar, there are some business people who support it and some who don't, and I think the same could be said for the NBA arena. That's another one. I mean, I think business people downtown are more likely to support the arena, but it's not necessarily uniform on either issue.
Strange bedfellows all around.
I guess so.
Bruce Murphy, thanks.
My pleasure.
Bruce Murphy is editor at the news website urbanmilwaukee.com. You can find a link to his reporting on the outside influences helping opponents of a downtown Milwaukee streetcar at wuwm.com.
Coming up after a break, our dining contributor Ann Christensen has a suggestion for a winter activity that doesn't involve snow. Stay tuned for more of Lake Effect right after this.